I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. Today, I have the privilege of continuing a conversation that I've had before with Mario Murillo. We've talked several times about the issue of false prophecy and what should we do in the body of Christ. And I'm glad to welcome my friend back to my podcast. Some of the biggest numbers I've ever gotten, Mario, and at least recently, is when we've discussed this, and I can only guess that people must share it because people are concerned. And my concern is that more Christian leaders are not speaking up. Why don't you remind my viewers and listeners on why you're speaking up and what the latest is?
Okay, well, the reason I'm speaking up is very, and I have a new reason besides the old one. First of all, I share this with a broken heart. I believe that people are being destroyed by false prophets. And I believe that the wave of this that we're seeing right now deserves our undivided attention. It's not to cause division. We don't need to hear anything about, well, did you go to him first? The answer is yes. Are you judging a brother? No, the Bible is judging them. We're doing what the Bible says, what Jesus said, and what Paul said. Beware of false prophets. How do you do that without calling them out? For those that are squeamish about doing this and naming names, how do you beware of anything if you don't identify the threat and you don't address it? You're not obeying the scriptures. Paul said to beware of the sheep. In Acts 20, he said that after my departure, there will come among you ravenous wolves, and their true intentions are dark, and they're very dangerous, and we need to know this. It's not wrong what we're doing, Steve. It is absolutely right. And I want to comment on one aspect of it in a moment. But that's the opening salvo, shall we say.
Well, I've gotten a lot of response from people who said somebody needs to speak up. And I've been concerned, as I said a minute ago, that other leaders are. And when I've talked to them, they feel like, well, these people are not in my circles. And, you know, they don't really affect my ministry, and there's a lot of stuff I don't know. But, you know, we do not want the government, and we do not want people who hate God to be the ones calling these people out. And I think they're actually dangerous because they cause reproach on the cause of Christ. They make people skeptical about prophecy. You know, some of these prophets that have prophesied so much about Trump has actually caused a lot of Christian people to kind of pull back, like almost afraid to support Trump. And I say that as someone who wrote a book about the prophecies called God and Donald Trump, because some of those prophecies by Kim Clement and Lance Wallnau and a few others actually did come true in 2016. But, you know, around the time of January 6th and a lot of the other stuff, there's just been a lot of nonsense, in my opinion. And a lot of Christians are going like, whoa, you know, we want to stay away from this. And that's just one example of something negative that can happen because of this. And there's a lot of, I've talked to some prophetic ministers that say it makes people skeptical. It's hard to know the difference between the real and the false. So how do we, help us discern, how do we know between the real and the false, apart from just when the Bible calls something out specifically?
Well, there's some very important ways to do what you just asked. Number one is the Word of God. And we're in a time of biblical illiteracy. And because of that, we could simply read the Bible and see how off this person or that person is. Now, I believe Robin Bullock is a dangerous false prophet and also a cult leader. He has all the earmarks of it, although he's not as well organized as previous cult leaders, and I'm grateful for that part. But it's nonetheless, he's doing the classic things that a cult leader does, threatening people with death that disagree with him, threatening former members that leave, and calling out. And I want to be very specific, because you asked me, how can we know they're false? Well, they violate the Word of God. I want to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. It says that you can insult Jesus and be forgiven. But according to Robin Bullock, if you speak against him, you're going to go insane. He said that God told him, anyone that speaks against me will go insane. I have not, nor do I expect to at any time. But the problem is to place yourself above Christ, literally, by saying, anything you say bad about Jesus can be forgiven, but anything bad you say about Robin Bullock could lead you to be insane. It's not scriptural, it's not right, and it's an obvious example of error. And I have another one, but I want to let you respond to what I've just said.
Well, you're right when you say cult leader, and usually we're hesitant to call someone a cult leader because it's such an insult, but that's absolutely what they are. And they're dangerous. You know, Jim Jones is probably the most famous. I'm old enough to remember when his followers followed him to death by drinking the Kool-Aid, remember, down in South America. And, you know, if you study his history, he actually started off in a legitimate Pentecostal denomination, but somewhere along the line, he went off track. And that denomination, you know, severed ties with him years before he got that weird. But, you know, could it have been that they could have stopped him in some way, or other Christian leaders? Really, the only thing we can do is get people who support these leaders quit supporting them. Like I said, we don't want the government shutting them down. That's dangerous of a different type. In the body of Christ, we've got to stand up and speak up and encourage people to do what's right. And people need to be wise enough not to follow them. That's the concern I have about Kat Kerr. You know, she doesn't make threats in the same way, but the people are silly enough to want to hear her latest fiction about heaven. You know, it's like, you know, Christopher Reeves giving flying lessons or whatever. I mean, the Bible doesn't even come close to that kind of stuff talking about heaven, but yet there are apparently people that are hungry to hear it. I guess maybe that's what the Bible calls itching ears, that people are eager just to hear whatever, and then the leaders just say it, and apparently they get a great following financially. Kat Kerr, I was just in Jacksonville a few weeks ago, and I actually ran into some people who knew her. That's where she lives, and they talked about how she's bringing in the money. It was just kind of interesting to see, but that's really the only way to stop it, is to just quit supporting them and let them do their thing privately, but not on the public stage. When these people are out in the media, on social media, at conferences, writing books, being online, and so forth, they're speaking out publicly, and we're doing the same thing. We're addressing it publicly.
Exactly right.
This is not a private thing between two church members who have a disagreement over some small thing between them, maybe a financial deal that went awry or something like that. Yes, you go to that person privately. And there's, of course, a lot of other examples. But I believe that when people are on the public stage, they open themselves up to scrutiny. And thank God that people like you are speaking up.
Well, here's the part of it that I want to ask the audience that support her to look at me and understand with a broken heart. We're down to only two options here with a woman that you claim to love. Either she has emotional illness and is delusional, or she's lying about what has happened to her in heaven for the sake of money. And we have no alternative here. So if you love her for the sake of her mental health, somebody needs to get up in her life and say something. I think the individual that I'd like to call out is Steve Schultz, because I want to know why He said, I spent 200 hours with her, and she's the profound expert on heaven. But I'm going to ask you, Steve, do you love her? Do you love her enough to recognize that you have a person that is either having delusions or is in it for the money? So in one instance, you should care about her mental health. And in the second, you should care about her soul. Amara, why do you say that so, you know, emphatically? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. And I want to address very carefully, Steve, why it's so important for this broadcast that we are doing what we're doing. I know a man in Christ, Paul said, who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressive things, which is not lawful for a man to utter. You heard me say that Robin Bullock placed himself above Christ because Christ said, and if you insult me, you'll be forgiven. But Robin said, if you insult me, God will turn you over to insanity. Kat is telling us everything she's experienced in heaven, while Paul won't even admit he was the person that was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were inexpressive. Now, certainly, there's another issue. Are there roller coasters, mountains of jello, Harley-Davidson motorcycles? Is Elvis, Michael Jackson, and all these individuals up there entertaining the audiences? If you look at history and think, what would Mario Murillo say? Well, the last time I was with you, I said, I'm not going to answer those things because it's stupid. When the LGBTQ community comes to me and says, why can't a man get pregnant? I look at him and I say, I'm not going to answer that. That is a stupid question. Likewise, mountains of jello and all of this, and cows driving tractors. It's too stupid to answer. But I'm going to do what Paul said. I've become a fool for your sake. I'm going to become a fool for the sake of the audience. The people that will be in heaven will have lived in thousands of years and ages. Only a tiny fraction of the people who lived on earth that are going to go to heaven are even going to know what a roller coaster was on earth. They had to have lived in a certain segment of the 20th century. Secondly, we don't know how long it'll be before Christ returns. And there may come a day when a Harley-Davidson motorcycle will make as much sense as a form of transportation as a broom or a tomahawk because of technology. So what we're doing is we're doing what sociologists call being ethnocentric, meaning, and we see it in medieval painting. When Rembrandt would paint a Bible character, that person would be dressed in medieval garb, not in the garb of the time. Why would we imagine that God is going to pick a decor and a motif out of a simple segment, a little knot in history, and say, ooh, this is what I'm into. It's John Deere, Harley Davidson, tattoos, Superman, Santa Claus. That's not going to happen. In heaven, and this is the part that I really didn't get to say the last time we were together. In heaven, the Bible says that God has hid his manifold wisdom that will soon be expressed in Ephesians chapter 3. Through the church, what's been hidden from the powers and principalities is the manifold creativity of God, which will be expressed through the church. What we're going to do in heaven is not sip root beer through a gold straw while being fanned by an angel that's overweight. We are going to be learning the character, the power, the glory, the intimacy, the administration of God's limitless creation. If you want to understand more about heaven, don't turn to Kat Kerr. Turn to someone like C.S. Lewis, who will help you understand that there is a glory, an inexpressive glory that we're going to see in heaven that is insulted, it is degraded, it is made banal by these things that, again, Paul was afraid to even express. So So I got to get back. Do you love Kat? Then you're going to help her. Because either she's grabbing after money and lying through her teeth, or she's mentally delusional and deserves immediate love and attention from those who care about her. And finally, the prophetic community itself, those who are considered valid and legitimate, I don't know why they're being silenced, Steve. Don't know why they don't name names like we're doing. Because it would seem to me that it is our love, your love and my love, for the gift of prophecy that fuels our desire to straighten these matters out. And when you're silent in the face of such extreme falsehood, you are giving tacit approval. And there's no doubt in my mind that silence is consent. Now, I left a show that I was a part of for 2 years, Steve, because I confronted the host, I confronted a regular guest, and I said, why are you endorsing Robin Bullock on this TV show? And why are you allowing yourself to conduct a live show on the stage of a church that is having Robin Bullock as a guest? And I did it, and that's why I'm speaking publicly, because I did this in private 4 times. And finally, I had to make a very hard decision. But I think people need to know that I believe Trump is being indicted because a prayer barrier has come down. And many of these false prophets, and we haven't even mentioned Julie Green, who is, there's 80 recorded predictions she's made, even that King Charles would have killed his mother, or that Nancy Pelosi would be dead by the midterm. And here recently, and we've now crept into a dangerous tendency, and I know I'm taking a while, but it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says that they will give themselves over to myths. Now, that means that they're consciously aware. For example, someone will watch. They're going to get mad at you, going to get mad at me. I like Julie Green. I like Robin Bullock. I like Kat Kerr. That's your problem, is you're putting your like above your logic, and you're putting your attraction to a personality above truth. And your loyalty to the Holy Spirit in God should be above anything. And even if they are proven wrong, some have said and believe, I'm still going to follow them. 80 times Julie's got it wrong. She even cost Mastriano his election when he was running for governor of Pennsylvania. She cost him that election. You look it up. You look up his name and you'll find Julie Green, Julie Green, Julie Green, Julie Green. The left deliberately connected his candidacy for governor of Pennsylvania with her. And she cost him that election. And I believe Satan's doing the same thing with Trump. Why is he being indicted over and over and over again? These prophets have said, God's got it in the bag. The election is won. Don't worry about it. God's got this. God doesn't have this. The church has to repent. We have to get to work. We have to realize that Donald Trump needs our prayers and fasting. Because we are locked in a spiritual war, and we don't need these false prophets putting apathy in us that's dangerous and ungodly.
Well, what you say is very important and insightful. I'd like to add to it that one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of discerning of spirits. And each of us needs to be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God. And I'm not a theologian and I'm not a preacher like you, but I wrote about it in this book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. I have a whole chapter on prophecy. I think it's very important, and I believe that the enemy, just as you said, is using this to discredit Christians, discredit the church. You mentioned Trump. I think you're right. There's a whole lot less prayer going up now than there was before. There is time to turn and change. We can share this far and wide, even sharing a podcast like this with people that you think would be interested in it helps to open people's eyes. And I wish we had more time to talk about the evils of cult leaders. You know, there are people who are cult-ish who aren't, you know, nearly as bad as Jim Jones, of course. But we've got to be discerning even where we put our loyalties, because if the enemy cannot get you to stop one way, he'll attack you another way. So if he can't keep you from not going to church, not reading your Bible, not being interested in the things of the Lord, he'll get you to go off the cliff with some of these leaders with all this nonsense. And part of it is that after a while, Mario, people do wake up and their eyes are open and they're disillusioned. And then they don't want anything to do with God, anything with the church. Thankfully, I've not had to deal with this too much, but our discussion has brought to mind that probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we had a ministry I'd never heard of buy some ads for some conferences in Charisma Magazine. This is a fairly normal thing. The ads seemed a little bit outlandish, but we thought, well, it's cultural, you know. But we very, very quickly found out what was really going on, and we refused to take the ads. And this person, who I never met, unleashed his minions. We have never been attacked online like we were with him. And he was associated with somebody that we knew personally, a person in ministry, a singer. But I found out later that she had just been totally sucked into this like a vortex. Thankfully, that ended up going away. But he said all manner of things. He said that we would go bankrupt, that I don't remember that he said anybody would die. But you know what? The psalmist said something about a curse that's unfounded, just kind of flies over your head like a bird. And we don't have to, I didn't really worry about it. I didn't appreciate the negative attention. I was kind of embarrassed that we gave, you know, the man was trying to buy legitimacy. That's why he bought an ad.
That's right.
And as soon as we figured out what was going on, of course, we acted appropriately. And now I don't even hear from him. I can't even remember the man's name. But he had all the attributes of a cult leader. I just kind of saw it up close and personal. And we have to be discerning. We have to discern who's of God, what isn't of God. We've got, the Bible tells us to test the spirits even when these prophets speak. Is it of God or not? And we need to do that on an ongoing basis, not just when politics are involved or not just when it gets as extreme as you've described. Now, since I mentioned my book, let me mention yours. It's called It's Our Turn Now, which is actually very encouraging that after all the stuff that's going on, you believe that God is raising up an army. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about this? And of course, people can order this book. It's probably easiest online, but it's also in many, many bookstores. And it's something that will really encourage the reader. And I encourage people to read it. So why don't you just kind of tell us what the book's about and maybe tie it into what we've been talking about today.
Oh, it ties in perfectly. A year and a half ago, I wrote that a campus miracle would start somewhere in America. And certainly we saw at the beginning of the year in Asbury. I also said that there would be transitions because of woke. People will become so miserable that they'll reject woke. Then the Bud Light thing happened. Then Jesus Revolution came out. Now Hollywood is reeling under the impact of the Sound of Freedom. And now we're watching further changes in the culture. People are hungry. Jesus said, you say there cannot be a harvest yet for a few months, John 4:35, but I tell you that vast numbers of human souls are ripening all around you. I saw that. That's why in our crusades, you realize that we've had as many as 1,400 volunteers come to attend crusade, many of them thinking they're not going to have enough to do. And the altar calls are so vast that every one of them are used up. That's how many people want to be saved right now. So you wonder, well, why you go after Robin and Kat the way you are? Because it makes us look crazy. There are two verses that really motivate me. One is, provide all things honest in the sight of God and man. We're to live transparent. I've heard preachers say, the outside world has no business knowing about me. Yes, they do. Jesus said, provide all things honest in the sight of God and man. And when I'm asked about individuals that are making Christianity into a total joke, then I have to distance myself and explain why, and do it lovingly. On the other hand, in choosing an elder, Paul said, make sure that they also have a good reputation from those that are outside. So, and Paul said, look, if you all speak in tongues, won't the outsider say you're crazy? We don't alter our message for the outsider. We don't compromise our convictions for the outsider. But within the parameters of truth, we must present a balanced life. Now, this book, It's Our Turn Now, says that like Elijah on Mount Carmel, it's our turn. It's our turn to influence the American culture. God is setting the stage. This book will help you know how to find your role in this. You'll read the book and you'll see, now I see what I'm supposed to be doing, why I'm on earth, what my goals ought to be, and how do I get started? Take that first step in being a part of God's worldwide miracle. It's all in the book, and I know you'll enjoy it.
And, you know, that's really the essential question for every single human being. You know, why am I here? What does God want me to do? And how do I fit into this? None of us asked to be born when we were born. We did not ask to be alive in 2023, but we had no choice. God has put us here. And let me just end with this. This is Jonathan Cahn's newest book. It doesn't release until the day after Labor Day. We're recording this in mid-August. But we just got it in the office. It is, I think it's his best book yet. I will admit that I say that every time. But he, you know, Josiah is the king that got Israel to go back to God. And he says that it's a template for what God is doing in our day. He says a lot of things that are very, very disturbing, a lot of parallels with ancient Israel, but he also ends with hope. And so we'll be saying more about that later. In fact, I'll be doing an interview with him. My very next podcast, which is on Thursday at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, is with Jeremiah Johnson. He's a young man who had a prophetic ministry. He prophesied some things about Trump. He prophesied some things around January 6th that did not come true. And he actually took himself out of ministry, shut down his Jeremiah Johnson ministry, started over in a different state with a different name, and was very humble. And I'm going to talk to him about what he learned through all that.
Yes.
And he reacted very differently. He did not get widely attacked, but he did get attacked, of course, because some of the stuff he said did not come true. And he realized that he missed God, and I think that that's an example. So I encourage people to tune in. That will be live. We can ask questions, or the viewers can ask questions in the live segment at 4 p.m. On Thursday. So, Mario, as we wrap up this podcast, I want to give you the last word.
I'd like all of you to pray for us in Los Angeles. That's what you see behind me. On September the 10th through the 13th, we're in the Los Angeles Fairgrounds in Pomona. Thousands of people are praying because LA is where Billy Graham started, Catherine Kuhlman was launched, Amy McPherson built Angelus Temple, and the Azusa Street Revival. It's been used in the past in a remarkable way. There's a feeling that something new is happening there. We're going to see miracles in our 5,000-seat tent. We'd love to have you pray for us, volunteer. You just go to mariomarillo.org. You'll find out all about what God is doing. But pray for us in Los Angeles.
And if you're able to attend, do so. I've been to some of Mario's meetings. They are tremendous. It's just, you know, of course, you can watch them live stream, as many of us have at different times. But there's just something about a Mario Murillo meeting. And I say that as someone who attended Resurrection City in Berkeley back in the day. And there was such an anointing. And I'll tell you, Mario, something's come on you at this stage in your life. I was going to say later in life, but we don't talk about that, do we? But there is something stirred up, and I'm just so thankful that you're my friend. I thank you for the ministry that you have. I thank my readers and viewers from watching the podcast today. Share it with others and remember to subscribe. Hit the little bell so that you'll be notified when there's a live podcast. Thank you. Thank you, Mario Merlo. God bless you.
God bless you.
From 1975, Charisma has been at the forefront of reporting on revival, miracles, and the move of God in our world. Charisma Magazine is now going exclusively online to reach beyond the physical barriers of a print issue. Charisma Magazine Online is committed to bringing you the very best Spirit-led content to inspire your walk with God in this upside-down world. Go to mycharisma.com for exclusive content today.